As we continue to walk through the Sermon on the Mount, beginning of chapter 7 this morning, had some comments this week as we talked about what the sermon would be about, specks and logs, and even a comment this morning, I want to see what you do with this passage. I looked for some help with it this morning to hear some other sermons on this passage. Didn't find any that I particularly cared for. So we'll see. You might remember in chapter 5 where Jesus said, anyone who says you fool is in danger of hell. He was talking about murder and anger leading to murder. And his warning is, don't even call people names. That kind of anger builds up toward murder. Well, in today's passage, Jesus refers to some people as dogs and pigs. So what's going on? He even refers to a disciple with a plank in their eye who he calls a hypocrite. In fact, he says to the audience on the hillside that day, "You hypocrite." Are his words too harsh? This section starts by telling disciples not to judge each other. And yet Jesus is talking about dogs and pigs. So, we have to be careful with what we do with these words. We have to take the whole passage. If you just take little parts of it, you will get in trouble. And people tend to do that. They tend to quote parts of verses or little bits here and there to say what they want to say. But here's one of those places especially where we need the whole thing. Lest we commit the error that Jesus is condemning of being too harsh, of judging people and situations incorrectly. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, first of all, what does verse 6 have to do with the other part? What about these dogs and pigs? Did Matthew just shove together some popular sayings of the day? Are we missing part of the conversation? Well, We may not have the whole presentation here, but it's not just Matthew shoving some statements together. There, when you back up and see the whole, there is a flow. There is a point, and so again, you just have to kind of you have to see the forest here, not just the trees. Remember, in chapter 6, where we read about Jesus teaching how to pray, and he said, "You will be forgiven as you forgive. In the same way you forgive, you will be forgiven." Well, here he says the same thing about judging. He says, we will be judged in the same way that we judge others. Are you picking up a theme here? How we treat other people is critical to kingdom living. It's not just about us. It's not even just about us and Jesus. We must learn to see people and situations from a kingdom perspective, the body of Christ. Now, this first paragraph, do not judge. Does it mean that we should never judge any person or any situation? Should we never offer criticism? That's how we hear it quoted sometimes. Don't judge, right? Don't judge me. as we read the whole section, we learn more. Now Jesus was serious about the first part. He wasn't joking. But we have to read the balance of all of it. How will we be judged by the same standard that we use to judge others? How does that happen? How are we judged the same way that we judge others? Well, just very practically speaking, if we are overly critical of others, does that criticism not come back to us? I mean, if you're known for being overly critical, people will get back at you. That's what we do. That's how people act. They will retaliate. If you're the guy in the office that's always running everybody down, once when they get a chance, they're going to cut you off, right? That's the way people behave. You will be judged in the same measure that you use. But also, we are held responsible by God in how we treat each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're held responsible by God. You cannot be an obedient follower of Jesus Christ and treat each other with contempt. It just doesn't work. And what about this analogy on specks and logs, or planks, as the NIV says? Do you think on the hillside the day Jesus was speaking this that some people laughed when he said that? Take the plank out of your own eye before you help your brother with a speck of sawdust in their own? I don't know if Jesus was trying to be funny. I know he was trying to shock them. It's a big, broad statement, because if you have a log in your eye, what's going on there? You're dead. You're not looking at somebody else's eye. You see, it's a shocking statement. Now, whether they laughed or just said, "What's he on about?" I don't know, but it's obviously Jesus making a point here, and the meaning is clear. Even if it's not really a common occurrence, the meaning is very clear. Is it easy to notice other people's faults and their mistakes? Well, yes. That's how we are. We like to see other people's faults so that we feel better about ourselves, right? That's what we do. We like to demonstrate how smart we are by illustrating other people's mistakes. Jesus' story here is quite clear. We are often too critical of other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, and we fail to notice our own faults and mistakes. It is perfectly natural human behavior. It is. Why did Jesus even put this story in here? I mean, there are any number of topics he could have spoke about that day, and he chooses to speak about how we judge each other. It must have been a common problem. It is, like I said, it is perfectly natural human behavior, but Jesus does not want us to remain in our natural human state. He wants us to be redeemed and to learn to live in his kingdom. So get the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite. Ouch! Does Jesus just call us hypocrites? Are we putting on a false face when we're too critical of others? When we're pretending, "I wouldn't be that stupid? Not me?" Here are some other problems associated with being plank-eyed. You're probably not as smart as you think you are. You are elevating yourself above the status of other people. You're saying, "I'm better than you." You may not know the situation of the person well enough to make the judgment you're making. I mean, all of us have an undercurrent of past and problems that are affecting us. And so we need to give some grace. And when you're judging too harshly or falsely, you're setting yourself up to be a hypocrite. And who wants to be a hypocrite? You see, when we're trashing someone else for their performance or their appearance or what they said, are we not saying that we're smarter, we're faster, we're prettier, we're just plain better? Is that the way to treat a Christian brother or sister? When we judge too harshly, we're removing the possibility of helping each other because we've lifted ourselves to a different plane. And we actually remove ourselves from the possibility of helping each other. We may be better at some things. All of us are good at one thing or another. And the brother or sister that we're accusing may be having some trouble. They may be struggling. But if we're going to help, it has to be in humility. With kindness. I remember as a teenager, I don't like to remember it, but I remember talking to my younger brothers like they were dummies. I probably talked to some other people that way as well. I wasn't especially kind as a teenager all the time. Who was the dummy? Now that was a long, long time ago, so maybe it doesn't count. Before we are too critical, we must try to understand the situation, right? We never know what's really going on with the other person. It's hard enough to understand our own motivations. You've heard it said, you should not judge someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Or if you like the Native American version, a mile in their moccasins. It's a good saying. There's some truth there. Did your mother or father ever tell you to get off your high horse? You ride your horse too high, you're the first one shot. On the other side of the world, when we live there, and we have a native of New Zealand with us here this morning, and she would remind us of the tall poppy error. And as Americans, we were told this often. Be careful of elevating yourself above the others. The tall poppy gets cut off first when we put ourselves above others. And in that part of the world, if you tend to raise yourself above the crowd, they will cut you off and have some fun doing it. If we're judging too harshly and too quickly, we're setting ourselves up to be hypocrites. Our mistakes and faults are just as obvious as other people, as their mistakes are to us, aren't they? And we tend to forget that. Our mistakes, our blunders are just as obvious to other people as theirs are to us. Let me ask you this. Do you trust a person that you believe to be a hypocrite? Do you seek advice from that person? Will they have any positive impact once they are known to be a hypocrite? Then do not become one by harsh and false criticism. Clean up your own eyes first. Have a look at verse 5. Clean up your own eye. Then you will be able to help your brother or sister. Is that not implying that we have a duty to help each other? That we have a duty to Christian brothers and sisters to help grow, strengthen, to help with our mistakes and our growth areas? That's a really kind way of saying our weaknesses. But it's a good way to say it, to help each other with our growth areas. the letter to the Ephesians says that we must be able to speak the truth in love. We need each other to grow toward maturity. That is part of Christian fellowship. Or dare we use the gender term brotherhood? That Ephesians 4 passage, Paul is talking about when we become mature, and it says this: then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. He speaks of us as a body of Christ, each connected to be His body, and He is always the head. And so we must be aware of our own weak areas, self-aware, and we must be unselfish in regard to others so that we can help each other mature. We must be self-aware and we must be unselfish toward other people. Now please, please apply these lessons to your use of social media. You don't get a bye just because you're on social media. You are still responsible for what you say and type and click on. Social media, even texting, are traps for sharp judgment with little responsibility. Think before you click. Go easy and watch out for your own eye planks. I read recently on some propaganda from an organization called newchurches.com. It's about how to be a Christian witness online. And they had a little electronic bumper sticker. It says, act justly, love mercy, post humbly. Taken from Micah 6:8, obviously. Post humbly. Now look at verse 6 again. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Isn't that a fun one? What does it mean? The man, Jesus, who said to these people not to judge each other, not to call someone a fool, talks about people as mongrel dogs. He wasn't talking about your labradoodle at home. He was talking about street dogs. He was referring to people as dogs and pigs. Though he was not being complimentary. So what in the world did Jesus mean? Again, did Matthew just throw some colloquial sayings together? Are we missing some of the passage? It still makes good sense, really. It's still truth. Jesus is still teaching about good and bad judgment. You see, we must be able to discern bad people and bad situations. We must. There are bad people in this world. There may be a few here. I hope not. But there are bad people, and they do want to hurt you. You must be able to discern that. There are bad situations. There are bad places to be, and we need to get it. We need to see it. Specifically here, Jesus was referring to people who blatantly disregarded His message. They saw the truth in person and disregarded it. They preached their religion while the Son of God was standing in their midst, and they did not believe Him. Pearls to swine. And there are people today who have refused the wooing of the Holy Spirit so long that their hearts and their minds are seared over. They will not hear the gospel. They may even attack you. They seem to be unable to hear the truth or understand the truth. And sometimes people act more like animals than they do humans. They may be as aggressive as a mongrel dog. Do not waste your words and time on them. That's what he said. Church, do not waste your resources on those who will just trample them in the mud and then turn against you. Harsh words. I'm not saying not to help people. If you help people enough, somewhere along the line, someone will take advantage of it. It will happen. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those who are militantly against him and his word. And he said, don't be surprised if you're persecuted. They persecuted me first. In order not to give dogs what is sacred or to throw pearls to pigs, then we must be able to recognize dogs and pigs. We have to be able to judge well enough to know. We have to be able to make accurate judgments of people and situations. It is basic survival, and ultimately it's wisdom. How do we do that? We have to fill ourselves with the truth. Truth uncovers lies. Light penetrates darkness. The genuine uncovers the fake. We need to fill ourselves with truth from God's word. Now, young ladies, I've said this to you before. You better learn to judge a man's intentions. He will say all kinds of sweet things and buy you expensive gifts and treat you like a queen, but it may not be because he has your best interest in mind. And young men, it works the same way with the other gender as well. You better know the people that you're spending your time with. You better be able to learn to judge what people really care about. Now, I'm not saying isolate yourself from the world. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. He told us to go into the world. But those we hold close, those who we make our close associates, we need to know who they are. And we need to surround ourselves with Christians, brothers and sisters who are going the same direction as us. We have to be able to judge people's truthfulness and reasoning. But we have to learn to do it well, accurately, and with humility. We cannot be too quick to judge or overly critical, or we violate the first warning that we read at the beginning of the chapter. We cannot be hypocritical, or we are trying to help others blindly. What did Jesus say about the scribes and Pharisees? You are blind guides. You're trying to lead people to God while you're plank-eyed. You're not seeing the truth. On the other hand, if we're too gullible, we end up entertaining dogs and wasting our resources trying to convert pigs. So we have to be wise. We need the truth in us. We have to be humble and gentle with each other when the time comes to help each other grow. He's telling us we need to help each other grow, but we do it in a spirit of love and kindness and humility. We will be judged by the same measure we use to judge others. In chapter 10 of Matthew, it tells about when Jesus was sending some disciples out to do some hands-on ministry. And he told them, if you get to a town and you're not welcome, dust Knock the dust off your feet and move on. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Isn't that an interesting comparison? Be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So we do have to learn how to judge people and situations accurately, kindly, in humility, but not harshly or falsely. And it turns out we need each other to get that done. We need each other to lean on, to sometimes say, hey, brother, you're messing up. Let me help you. And when that happens, to be willing to listen, to be able to let your brothers and sisters come alongside beside you and say, you took the wrong exit. Let's get back on the right path. Humbly, kindly, being able to judge and to receive the proper criticism. As shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Music team, come up, please.